Hi, I'm Flo Hale, and this is Arts Alive, etc. Now, my guest today, it's going to be interesting because everybody is moving upstate. And when you're moving, what do you think about? Real estate. And when you think about real estate, you think about 20th century real estate. And if you don't, you better. My guest today, I'm Natasha Whitcutt. Did I get that right? Thank you, Natasha. And Ronnie McHugh.
Hello again, Flo.
And the first question I would like to ask you folks is a question that people that are trying to get into real estate and whatnot don't understand. Would you explain the difference between an agent and a broker?
Sure thing. So the difference between an agent and a broker is first and foremost responsibility and education and training. So in order to become a licensed agent, the number of pre-licensing hours and requirements by the New York State Department of Licensing is far less than a real estate broker. And to become a broker, you must be a licensed agent for a minimum of 2 years.
And as an agent, Ronnie, you are an agent, right? A real estate agent.
I have a broker's license.
Oh, you have a broker's license.
Yes, because every 2 years we go through, New York State training every 2 years. So, you know, there are various courses you can take. So a couple of years ago, maybe 20 years ago, I did the broker's, just part of it. But Natasha is the principal broker. So there's a big difference, obviously.
Now, if somebody wants to sell their home, and please go into details on things, you know, because this is what the people that are listening are saying, oh, real estate. And don't forget, our population is getting much, much older, and people more and more are thinking about maybe selling their homes and stuff like that. So say if I want to sell my home, what would be the first thing that I would do? It's like, gee, you know, I'm at an age where I can't take care of a home anymore. What should I do? What would be the first thing that I would do?
So the first thing you would do is consult with a real estate expert. They would come out to your property and evaluate, looking at mechanical functions and systems. They'll be asking you a lot of questions about the ages of your systems and any improvements you've performed to the property in the last 3 to 5 years. And you together, you will take your real estate agent through the home and show them material composition. We're looking for, is there hardwood in the floor or is it carpeting? And what we're doing is we're taking notes as we're going through and formulating a market valuation. We will compile all of our data and then propose to you a recommended sale price. At this time, we're also looking for any deferred maintenance or defects that may compromise your value.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then post our site visit, we put together a comparative market analysis report. We are looking at sold comps, properties that are currently active on the market and pending. And we do that to obtain a true hard fact number, but then there is also an opportunity zone in which, depending on competition in the marketplace, if there is activity, if there are like-kind properties or nothing like it on the market, we do know that we have a buffer with mm-hmm. the price range.
Now, Ronnie, where do you come into the picture when you're talking to the people? Do you actively go out to look for properties, or do people come to the agent to 20th century?
Both. But, you know, because I have been a realtor for probably 39 years,
mm-hmm.
I have many contacts. Sometimes I work with various generations, you know, sometimes the children, the grandchildren, which is really kind of fun. I like that. I like the listing side especially, and it just seems very workable for me.
Now, how do you go about finding buyers? That's, all of a sudden I see this look on your faces, you know.
Just not sure what you're
I wish this was TV.
Yeah. So marketing, a lot of self-advertising, a lot of networking, and relationships really are, you know, our biggest, our most valuable asset is our network. And the passion for the job, the excitement about working with buyers. You know, there aren't a lot of agents that are willing to work with buyers these days due to the lack of inventory and the amount of competition in the marketplace. Sometimes you are showing a buyer 20 plus homes and you may not make a deal.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
the investment on a buyer side is far more than on a listing side.
Yeah, it's always you know, interesting when you would. I often think when people say, "Oh, I can take care of it myself. I can sell. You know, I can take care of my sale myself. I want to sell my home. I'm going to put a for sale sign, you know, outside." And why is that a bad idea for? If I have a home and I want to take the responsibility of selling it, what are the pitfalls that I would be falling into?
Well, there are many pitfalls. And we have been in the business long enough that we can almost see them coming. And we help our people through them. We guide them through. Fortunately, every buyer and every seller has an attorney. So that's definitely a real plus. But, you know, when you've been in the business a while, pardon me, you learn the ups, the lows, the entire, you know, what's ahead of us, and we're prepared.
Now, 20th century, and I know your office is here in Catskill, but I know that you would be having, if somebody had property up at the mountaintop or some, you know, and you also go into like Columbia County and Ulster County. Now, how do you get the listings, you know, out of this area? How do people find you? How do they know that they should come to you?
A lot of networking again, and Google, Google advertisements and referrals. We encourage all of our clients to leave reviews and testimonials, like going out to a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
People do shop for reviews for real estate brokers.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing our territories is extremely important to us. So we take a lot of time assessing area jurisdictions and learning about the zoning and codes within the townships.
Mm-hmm.
But activity and presence, really, and not being afraid of a challenge, and the best way to learn and grow is to be in it. So,
do you find that there's a lot of competition in the real estate business up here?
Certainly. Most certainly. We have within our MLS, which stands for Multiple Listing Service, close to 1,400 agents and brokers in our jurisdiction.
Wow.
So
that's a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot of us. And our territory does welcome anyone in the state of New York who can practice real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So do you travel? I'm interested. Ronnie, when you're out and about and you see a property, let's say, and you say, gee, that's a very interesting property, and maybe you know that the people living there might be a little older or something like that, would you ever approach anyone to tell them that, you know, have you ever thought about selling your property?
Definitely.
Good.
Because there are so many wonderful properties that we have, not just in Greene County, but, you know, various other counties, too.
Yeah.
And very definitely, I mean, sometimes I just see something that just takes my breath away. And it's just a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, that's mm-hmm. yeah, that's being able to approach people, too, because some people may not think about wanting to sell. And then all of a sudden they say, gee, you know, that would be... that might be the thing to do, especially when people are getting older. And our population up here is getting older.
And just to piggyback, Flo, on the topic of for sale by owners or
yeah.
trying to list your property
yeah.
on your own, we do also try to obtain listings
mm-hmm.
that are for sale by owner.
Yeah.
And It is important for sellers to work with experts to be able to screen buyers.
Well, it's important that everybody that owns a home should realize that eventually they may want to sell it and to really keep it up. A lot of people just let it go, and it becomes a disaster when they want to sell it and they find out, gee, the inspector found this wrong with it and I never realized it. Or they found this wrong with it and I never realized it. And so if you own property, eventually, no matter how young you were when you got it, eventually you're going to have to sell it at some point, unless your family is going to take it over or whatnot. But you have to think of the possibilities that I better keep it up because it's not going to be worth very much if I don't keep the property up.
Hopefully so, yes.
Yeah. It is uh-huh. someone's biggest asset investment in their lifetime.
You know, if I had property, what I would want to do would be to maybe every... You know, do you think that the gremlins are after us? What is that noise now?
A truck.
Oh, it's a truck out there? Oh, jeepers. That's right. They're doing a lot of construction work out there.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, that
adds
to.
True.
That
yeah.
adds to the flavor of the day.
To my listening audience, please forgive us for these. We've got so much work going out here on Main Street with sidewalks being broken up and things being put in place.
This is how you know we're not an AI.
Good point.
Oh, right, yeah.
Very good.
But if I had a home, I would say like maybe every 2 or 3 years, I would have it inspected. I would have somebody come in and say, would you please go through?
Good idea. Stay on top of it.
And just stay on top of everything.
Things happen,
you know, because
yes.
it's really an important thing to make sure that your property is in very good shape.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the sales now are mostly going? In what area upstate?
The entire Hudson Valley and Catskill Mountain Range. It's a very broad range. Anywhere 2 to 3 hours north of Manhattan is a hot spot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have a sneaking suspicion there are going to be more and more people leaving the New York City area and moving upstate.
Probably so.
The what?
Probably so, and it's so easy to get here.
Right.
You know, it's basically 2 hours, whether it's the train, your personal car, whatever. It's a very easy trip.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, when I lived in the city, in New York City, in Manhattan, you'd go to the restaurants and whatnot, and people have to realize that this area up here has fantastic restaurants.
Oh, don't they?
And they're just really, all of them are just so, so good. And people say, well, you know, I want to go to New York to go. You want to go to New York to sightsee, and there are some restaurants, fine. But up here, it's a... Now, I know you deal in homes, but what if somebody wants to sell their business? Would you... Are you into that at all?
Yes, most definitely. We... Century 21 New West Properties has... We service commercial, residential investment properties. And, yeah, we are... I'm actually certified as a commercial real estate expert. Having owned some commercial properties
yes.
myself, I
yes, you have.
I do consult and am happy to take on any project.
Well, that's good. That's good. And then do you have any, Ronnie, do you, as somebody that's going to be going out talking to the public and everything, would you find it easier to sell commercial property or residential property? I mean, as you know, how do you find dealing with different people?
Okay, I don't necessarily think anything is easy about the business, but with the amount of years and people we have in our office, we do keep things together very beautifully, and we give good guidance, and it's been a tremendous success.
If I wanted to buy a restaurant, say, and would I go in and taste the food first?
Yeah. good question.
And find out if this
good
is the place
question.
I want. Is this the place I want to buy?
Yes, depending on if they are selling recipes and the actual business entity, or just the walls and the real property. So we could certainly sell just the real property or the business within the real property simultaneously. Yeah, that's a good place to start.
Oh, yeah, right. And, of course, taste the food.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question, because you've had, you know, a couple of restaurants here. If I came in and I ate something and I said, gee, this is so, because this happens in New York City, and I asked you for the recipe, would you give it to me?
Probably not.
No. I know. In New York, to the matter, if you go into one of these, you know, restaurants and you say, this is so fantastic, I would love to have, you know, the recipe. How much are you willing to pay?
Yeah.
You know, to get the restaurant in New York City, the Waverly Inn, down on Waverly Place in the city, they always made the best chicken pot pie.
Mm.
And I went there years later when it was bought by Vanity Fair. You know, and I asked, they said they had the chicken pot pie. And I said to them, it's still the same recipe. And they said, oh, yes, and it was. And I said, it's funny that I can't make chicken pot pie. And I asked them, I said, can I ask the chef for the recipe? And the maitre d' looked at me and he said, no. He said, that recipe has been with the family for like 100 years. That was when it was originally the old Waverly Inn, and they kept a lot of things. So it's interesting, you know, and it the way businesses, you know, now work. And it seems to me that the people that are want to buy property up here, they're on the younger side now, aren't they?
I feel there's really such a beautiful mix.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing retirees in the marketplace as well. So I feel like it's a real nice, healthy mix of both young professionals and retirees.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. You know, we have received quite a few people from California. There's really quite a nice flow. And I would say that they are retirees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our entire industry really fluctuates and is dependent on market climate, economy. And anytime there is an unfortunate natural disaster, New York seems as though it's a safe haven. We do not really experience what the Midwest or West Coast or Southern United States do as far as hurricanes, tornadoes, wildfires. So we are a safe haven for
many. Now, there are a lot of people, when they reach a certain age, they consider going into senior housing and they want to sell their property. Now, you know that you can't sell it and then immediate. So would you be telling people that are considering that to start to think about selling their property like maybe 3 or 4 years before they really can get into senior housing? Because you can't own property and move into senior housing, so your property does have to be. Would you work with somebody who said, you know, 3 years from, you know, I'm going to put my name in for senior housing, but I'm not going to sell my property for 3 years. Would you consider working with somebody that would tell you that?
Absolutely, but 3 to 4 years is a long time. And our sales are, you know, just always happening, and we're doing so well that what if the home sells right away? Then where would the person go until the availability mm-hmm. of the senior housing?
Yeah, that's one of the things I thought about, yeah.
So we could help them with an apartment, but so it would be kind of maybe hard to go from one to the other because mm-hmm. I think the sale is probably going to happen.
What a lot of people do is they'll sell their home to maybe their family.
True.
And then that solves the situation, and then the family can do whatever they want, you know, with
that's
the home.
That's true.
Then, because it's very, very difficult, and the waiting for senior housing, you know, was like 3 to 5 years.
It's a long
to
time.
Get into the buildings. Mm-hmm. So people have to make plans way, you know, in advance.
True.
Have you heard any rumors or anything about any building other, you know, senior housing going up and anywhere in the building or affordable housing going up anywhere? Being in real estate, I thought maybe you might hear rumors about things that might be going on.
Well, there are always rumors.
Well, that's true. That's
continually.
Yeah.
So it's hard, you know, to know what is real, what is not.
Now, if I wanted to, say I'm an owner, or you're an owner, and I want to come in and look at your property, do I have access then to look over the whole house? I mean, you're not going to say, you know, I'm sorry, but you can't go into that room, or you can't go into that room, you know. But as somebody wants to buy the house, I would think that you as the seller would let me go through every room and every nook and cranny. Now, is that permissible? You would be take me there. You would be the agent that was taking me there, and that would be okay.
Yes. First, we're screening every buyer for qualification, making sure that they are working with a lender and have the means to purchase the home. And a seller is very understanding with ready, willing, and able real buyers that they must see every nook and cranny in the home. They must see the basement. They must see the bathroom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
On occasion, closets are off limits. If there are personal effects and or safes in the area, however, that is very rare.
Yeah,
usually
yeah.
there are plans made to remove those contents or mm-hmm. displace them prior to prior to a property going live on the free market.
Now, what happens if you do go into somebody's basement or something like that and you find asbestos? Is the seller responsible for removing the asbestos before you buy it?
So anything environmental, really, without proper measures and environmental testing, it can get very ambiguous because some material subsurfaces may appear as though they are one thing, but are not. So a buyer would be responsible in their inspection contingency to test to make sure it is, in fact, really asbestos. And then, of course, remediation estimates would have to be obtained. So, but technically, no, a seller is not responsible for curing. They could deny the request made by the buyer, or they can, of course, renegotiate and come to terms of splitting the costs, or a seller in the state of New York is able to remediate the asbestos properly themselves. So that is also an option. But at that point, once you're in contract, the buyer and seller have to agree to any terms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it, you know, life is so complicated sometimes. You think, well, I want to sell my house, and this is what I want for it. Let's make a deal.
Mm.
You don't realize all of the things that and every state, I assume, has different rules in dealing with real estate. Am I correct?
Yes.
I mean, if you in New Jersey or Connecticut, you would have, you know, have different rules when you're buying and selling homes.
Most certainly.
And renting also, different rules.
The what?
With renting. With renting also, there would be different rules.
Oh, sure.
Not just
sure,
the buying
absolutely.
And selling.
Yeah, you really have to be right on top of everything. And it seems to me that Upper New York State, and I see so much empty property, you know, there's nothing on it. And I often wonder, you know, that one of these days somebody's going to come in and they're really going to start to build high rises or something like that. Although I really can't see that happening, you know, up here. But with so many people moving up here and looking for places to live, and buying a house is so expensive that they're thinking, well, maybe rental, maybe I can't afford to spend $1,200 or $1,300 a month, you know, for rent. So what do you think about that kind of thing? Would you help people? Say, for instance, I'm living in New York City, and I come up and I say, gee, can you help me find an apartment?
Our pleasure. We currently, our office does have 6 rental listings on the market. So there is inventory out on the market at this time.
And what are the rents going for apartments?
One bedroom, about $1,200 to $1,500. That is including washer and dryer. And then a two-bedroom, anywhere from $1,500 to $1,650.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, it's funny. When I was living in New York City, I lived on East 63rd, right off of York. And I was paying, at that time, was considered a lot of money. Just to put the key in the door was $1,000 a month. Of course, you have the doorman, you have everything else, you know, that goes with it. But, and then your electricity and everything else, you know. And so it cost me like $1,500, $1,600 a month just to live, you know, where I was living. But now, if you say you're paying $1,000 a month rent, really? That's cheap, you know.
But it is.
In New York City at that time, you know, back in the late 70s, that was considered a hell of a lot of money, you know.
And we're talking about rentals for apartments. If you're going to rent a home, if it's a family, then of course it's far more than the numbers we were just talking about.
But it's really, it's interesting how 1 year, you know, you're living someplace and you say, well, golly, I'm paying a lot of money, but then all of a sudden the economy changes, everything changes. Now $1,000 a month can't even rent a studio apartment in the city. They're
true.
Like $1,200, $1,300. Now, would you encourage people to investigate moving upstate? Because it seems to me that there still are a lot of things that are much cheaper up here than in other places.
Certainly, depending on life circumstance, we actually have a friend that is moving back to New York after being in the area for 20 years. So they wish to be close to family, to medical professionals, and
Listen, I want to thank you both so much, Ronnie, Natasha, thank you, because I think it's interesting because people do want to know about real estate, and maybe they hadn't thought about it before, but they're thinking about it now.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, no, my pleasure. This is
terrific. Thank you, Flo.
Thank you very, very much.
Wonderful to be with you.
And listen, thanks a lot, and I think everybody out there learned a lot, because people talk about real estate, and I listen to a lot of people talk about real estate.
And if not, catch up with us at the office. We have a wonderful group of people.
Great. Okay. Listen, I thank you both so much. And I also want to remind you, please, if you'd like to send contributions to WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial, please do so, because, you know, the government has been cutting funding, you know, for all public stations, TV, radio, and we really and truly need it. And we're ready to say goodbye. Thanks again. Thank you
so much.
Okay.
Thank you.
And this is Vohale saying so long for now. Till next time. Bye-bye.